Welcome. I'm Paula Gwen Grant, and you are listening to Drive Time with Dr. Douglas, an hour-long conversation about your health with Atlanta internist Dr. Adrian Douglas. Dr. Douglas has been a fixture at Piedmont Atlanta Hospital for over 20 years. He also has an MD-VIP-affiliated practice in Buckhead. For the next hour, we will explore important health topics for men and women, and we will take your calls live at 404-880-9255. Tonight, we will be talking about sleep disorders, an estimated condition that affects over 70 million Americans. Here is your host, Dr. Adrian Douglas.
Thank you, Paula. Hello, Atlanta. We are going to talk about sleep disorders today, and that's so important because it impacts everyone. As you know, you have to have a good night's sleep to really, really make it through the next day. Sleep is so important. It helps in terms of your overall sense of well-being. It helps with your mood. It helps with your energy. It helps with your vitality. It helps with a number of medical conditions also. It's so important in terms of getting sleep every single day. And so it impacts so many different people in so many ways that we thought we want to talk about it today. So we're going to be trying to figure out about how you go to sleep, Atlanta, whether or not you're getting enough sleep, whether or not you're staying up all night, whether or not you're watching your cell phone, whether or not you're staying up on the computer. We are going to get the answers that you need to help to stabilize and improve your sleep today. And with that being the case, Paula, I've asked one of my good colleagues, Dr. Lisa Johnson, to be here present with me today. And she's going to help in terms of getting the answers about quality sleep. Now,
fantastic.
Paula, did you know that Dr. Johnson is a board-certified neurologist? She's been practicing here in Atlanta for over 20 years. She graduated from Brown University, stayed there and went to medical school, eventually did her internship in Chicago at Rush University's Presbyterian St. Luke Medical Center. Eventually, she came to Emory University and finished her residency in neurology and did a fellowship in sleep disorders and neuromuscular conditions. So she's well-equipped and well in regards to knowledge, in regards to sleep, and certainly at one point in time, she was the medical director for Northside Hospital in regards to their sleep center. So she is well educated and well experienced in sleep medicine. So again, today, welcome Dr. Lisa Johnson to Drive Time with Dr. Douglas.
Welcome. Well, thank you so much. It's very great to be here tonight. Hopefully, I'll be able to lend some insightful information about sleep, why it's important, and maybe how to get a better night's sleep.
We all have to sleep, don't we, Dr. Johnston? That is just
absolutely
one of those things. We have to eat and we have to sleep.
Fundamental.
And it's they say that sleep disorders affect over 70 million Americans. That's a lot of us.
A lot of us. You know, we've created a world, in a sense, that has caused us to have lots of sleep problems, and maybe we can talk about that a little bit.
Absolutely. Dr. Douglas.
Yeah, as it is, Dr. Johnston, my sense, you know, I hear a lot of different patients talking about their different levels of sleep. Some come in saying, oh, I get 4 hours of sleep, and they brag about it. And then I get some other individuals talking about they're sleeping too long. What's considered, you know, what is considered normal and acceptable in terms of sleep?
All right. Well, the Academy of Sleep Medicine recommends about an average of 7 hours of sleep. But as we know, as you know, everyone is different. Individuals are different. And really, the amount of sleep that any individual needs is the amount of sleep which they get. They wake up from that amount of sleep and they feel rested. And they're able to perform their activities of daily living without any difficulties. So that can vary. And if you take a bell curve, on the top of that bell curve, you have, you know, 7, 8, and 9 hours of sleep. There are people that fall outside of that bell curve that are normal, but most people that are either short sleepers or long sleepers unfortunately have morbidity associated with that. So they either are not sleeping because maybe they have an underlying health problem, they have some pain, or they may sleep too long, maybe they have depression that can cause long sleep, sometimes that can cause short sleep. So a lot of times there are morbidities associated with people that sleep either too long or too short.
How are you sleeping, Atlanta? This is a time for you to chime in on the conversation. 404-880-9255 is the number you can call right now and tell us about your sleeping habits. Ask your questions about how to sleep better. 404-880-9255. Dr. Douglas.
So as it is, you're suggesting that 7 to 8 hours is a good amount of sleep, and that we should try to get that, and that there can be variations from one person to other.
Right.
What happens when you get older, and then what happens to the young individuals? Right now, I'm blessed and highly favored, and I have a grandson who's 2 years of age,
mm-hmm.
And so if he doesn't get that nap, there's a difference. I mean, what happens to individuals when they don't get that nap, that mm-hmm. or what is considered restorative sleep, Dr. Johnston?
Right. Well, when you don't get restorative sleep, clearly you don't function well mentally and physically.
Mm-hmm.
So, for example, studies have shown that reflexes, for example, are a lot delayed when you don't get enough sleep. Mentally, you're not as sharp when you don't get enough sleep.
Mm-hmm.
And so it does affect your day. And people that are chronically sleep deprived oftentimes are very irritable, and it can lead to some psychiatric issues such as anxiety and depression.
Yeah, and certainly for our drivers, you know, sleep can impact you as you're riding through the interstates or the different roads
mm-hmm.
here in Atlanta. A lack of sleep can make your reflex time to stopping or responsive time change. Falling asleep behind the wheel obviously is not good.
No.
It can impact your ability to work. It can impact your ability to learn new information. There's so many different things that can come about by differences in sleep. A lot of individuals come in, and at some point in time, Dr. Johnston, during the conversation, they have something with their sleep. Like today, I had someone come in, and new patient actually came in, has a history of hypertension. He has a history of being overweight,
mm-hmm.
Male,
mm-hmm.
Previous athlete,
mm-hmm.
Still doing a good job at working out, but yet he still has some elements of fatigue.
Right.
And so one of the things I noted is that he's doing a good job in terms of compliance with his medications. We did talk about sodium intake,
mm-hmm.
But his sleep, still there's something going on with his sleep. And mm-hmm. so I asked him, I was like, you know, has anyone said anything to you about your breathing when you lay down
mm-hmm.
at night?
Or mm-hmm.
has anyone joked you about snoring and waking up,
right.
you know, someone in the next room? And has you felt, you know, refreshed in the morning?
Right.
First thing in the morning? And so that led me down a path of questions. And certainly we had some suspicions about him. You know, one of the major diagnoses or one of the major concerns I have is sleep breathing-related disorders.
Correct, yeah.
And one of the major ones is obstructive sleep apnea that seems to cross, you know, all these different demographics.
Mm-hmm.
I've even seen individuals who aren't necessarily large to have yeah. obstructive sleep apnea. So that seemed to be a pretty common condition.
Yeah, so that's the thing. A lot of people are complaining. I know, you know, your spouse, your loved one, people, like you said, Dr. Douglas in the next room can say, hey, you snore really loudly. We shouldn't ignore that, should we, Dr. Johnston, Dr. Douglas? We should not ignore when someone says, hey, you snore.
Absolutely not.
No, that's so important to really have that addressed and to come in and to talk more and more about it and try to get the answers. A lot of times that leads to concern about someone being a suspect for sleep apnea.
Mm-hmm.
At that point in time, I get the patient to weigh in and actually to allow me to ask someone like Dr. Johnston to see them to kind of figure out what's going on.
Fantastic. We're talking about sleep disorders. How are you sleeping at night? Call us with your concerns, your questions right now at 404-880-9255. Let's go to Joe in Atlanta. Joe, thank you for calling Drive Time with Dr. Douglas. Go ahead with your question for Dr. Douglas.
Hello, and thank you for taking my call. I am one of the unusual cases. I guess I should say I speak for other people who have worked overnight, which I have read and heard that it's the overnight people driving home. It equates to driving drunk, which I've fallen asleep on the road and waking up. So I'm grateful to God to be talking to you today.
My goodness, yeah. Joe, that's dangerous. So you've had this happen to you a few times.
Yes, and I had to actually stop working overnight recently several months ago to work in the daytime because it was just too much, too far, too this,
mm-hmm.
too this, too that. But my question is I do music, so I would get home and I just couldn't go to sleep right away. I mean, mm-hmm. it's not like it was a lot of noise. I live in a quiet neighborhood, and do my music till I can just get real drowsy and fall asleep. But, you know, that pattern of just working nights and coming home in daytime, being nocturnal, I guess you could say anyway. But how do I get back to the normalcy, I guess you could say, of a normal person sleeping? Because sometimes I'm still up at night, even after several months of not working there, because all I ever worked was night.
Right, so you're in that habit. Dr. Douglas, what can Joe do?
Well, one thing, Joe, you mentioned something about music. I mean, when you're talking about music, are you playing music? Are you actually listening to music? As a rule, you want to try to maximize the environment that you're trying to go to sleep in. And depending on the type of music, sometimes that can be overstimulating. You should be winding down. Music gets me going a lot, depending on the type of music. Now, other music can make me more comfortable, more calm. So some of the answer might be, what are you doing, man? When you get home, you're supposed to be trying to go to bed.
Sometimes I would try to, and I just, my eyes would be like wide open. I just couldn't go, and I produce music, and then sometimes I actually sit down at the keyboard and practice or play a piece, and I just get going on it, and I just can't go to sleep.
Yeah.
That went on for the longest time, and some days I'd just be just so dog tired, I just go ahead and go to sleep. But most days I would just be up, and it wouldn't just be at the urgency of just being wanting to just have that passion to just go in on the music. I just couldn't go to sleep.
Thank you. Yes, Joe, let's get you some tips, you and everyone else. Thank you so much for calling Drive Time with Dr. Douglas. Dr. Douglas, some tips.
Joe, one thing, if you're playing music, you probably have the lights on. So what you want to do is try to get yourself in an environment conducive to go to sleep. You need to cut the lights off. Particularly in this day and time in our society, there are a lot of us who are looking at social media, looking at computers, computer screens, artificial light, someone's calling you on your cell phone or text you or whatnot. All those things tend to stimulate you. So as a rule, you're doing something that's not natural. And unfortunately, in modern society, there's a lot of unnatural sleep behaviors. We're asked to stay up at night. Back in years gone by, you know, we didn't stay up all night. You know, there wasn't the need for someone to be up all night. So you're really asking your body to do something unnatural. And trying to overcome that sometimes is difficult. Trying not to get a nap, you know, during the daytime would be one thing. Trying to sleep immediately when you go home and go to bed would be the second thing. Trying not to eat, because a lot of times when people get off shifts of work, they go home and get something to eat. That can stimulate you in terms of the type of food that you eat. Drinking fluids, you know, eventually now if you drink some fluid, that's going to end up accumulating in your bowels, or rather in your bladder, and you're going to end up having to urinate about 2 hours later. So there's a lot of other different things. I didn't ask whether or not, you know, you drink any. Some people think drinking alcohol will help them chill out. Well, it'll make you go to sleep, but eventually that's going to wear off and you're going to wake up, lights on. And obviously caffeine. Dr. Johnston, would you add anything?
Well, Joe, can I ask you a question? You're working what time?
So what we I'm sorry, Dr. Johnston, we didn't get to hear your answer. And so you were saying Dr. Johnston was going to reiterate shifts. The point was also that he had that overnight shift. What are some particular tips for people who do have overnight shift? If they work in healthcare, they work in other jobs where they work overnight, like midnight till 8 a.m. What are some tips for them? Because you mentioned not to eat, but when they get off, they're hungry, and maybe often they want to try to lay down in daylight hours.
So, again, one should maximize the temperature of your room, try to make it as cool as possible. You should certainly get all the ambient light out of your room. You should not use any substances which would stimulate you. You should not eat, you should not drink. You should cut off all the music that we just talked about.
Mm-hmm.
You should not try to do anything that's going to stimulate your mind to make you stay awake.
Okay, so wind it down. No matter what your shift is, wind down and get ready to sleep. Set the conditions for you to sleep. We're talking about sleep disorders. Call in with your questions right now at 404-880-9255. Let's go to Barry in Smyrna. Barry, hello. Thank you for calling Drive Time with Dr. Douglas. What is your question for Dr. Douglas?
Hello, doctor. Thank you for taking my call. Hoping you can give me some guidance. My doctor was trying to help me get my hypertension under control, and I was also having quite a bit of respiratory difficulty. this past spring and summer. So she suggested I take a sleep study test. And what that entailed was a overnight stay at a facility locally. And they hooked me up to all these wires and, I guess, monitored my sleep patterns. And it was determined that my oxygen level fell very low at certain points throughout my sleep. But they said I didn't quite make it to sleep apnea, but it was a concern. And the doctor put me on some inhaling medication and told me to get a wedge pillow to kind of prop me up to help my breathing. Now, this is a little side issue, but the insurance company tells me they would not pay for this. So I'm wondering how seriously does the insurance business take this? They said it could have been done at home, but no one told me that I had that option. And this is over a year ago I've been at this. I don't have $4,000 to pay for a one-night stay in the facility.
Great question, Barry. Thank you for calling Drive Time with Dr. Douglas. Dr. Douglas, that's a great point, because a lot of times we want to look after our sleep, but insurance doesn't always support these things. Any advice for Barry?
Well, it really comes down to the rules of engagement. And in every study that you get ordered, or any study that you get done at a hospital or facility, you want to make sure that approval has been received by the provider. In other words, don't get in a CAT scan machine if they're telling you or you can't be sure that they have gotten approval from your insurer. Do not sleep overnight in any hospital if you're not going to get pure actual approval. Make sure that you don't do anything that, you know, your insurance doesn't allow. I mean, it's the rules. Now, with that being said, the best study, one of the best studies, and actually gold standard, is to sleep overnight. Over the last decade or so, increasingly more and more insurers are requiring individuals to wear devices, which can, for the most part, give a pretty good estimate of one's sleep apnea. That doesn't cost as much, and still it tends to be just as effective. And so, again, unfortunately, it really gets down to knowing the rules of your insurance and making
sure
that
you... And that's a tough thing, though, Dr. Douglas. I hate to interrupt you, but here's the thing Barry's making the point about, is that he wanted to participate. His doctor said that this would help arrive at what was going on with his sleep. And so you're directing us to make sure we ask those questions, because that's what he could have done in that same visit with his doctor, said, hey, can your staff make sure that my insurance covers this?
Yeah.
And if not, then... help me come up with another way to get at this information, right?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay, so that's one thing we can do. He also mentioned the pillow that was recommended to him, the wedge pillow. Any thoughts on that? Look, because the pillow market, they are selling us pillows. I think I have personally bought about 6 pillows, just trying to achieve a good night's sleep, support my neck, all of these things. What about our pillow?
Well, for a number of individuals, sleep disorders may be related to orthopedic problems involving the neck and spine. Some people can have acid reflux. In other words, if they are lying all the way flat, they can have acid that rolls up into their chest, into their throat, and it awakens them. For some people, actually having underlying cardiopulmonary disease, such as heart failure or COPD, if they lie flat, they're going to have problems. They're going to have a dip in their oxygen, and it's going to wake them up. So getting position is very important in regards to sleep.
Very important. You also mentioned not eating before you go to bed. So when you talk about reflux, so what is the window of time? We should stop eating, what, an hour or two before we go to bed?
I would say no closer than 2 to 3 hours before going to bed.
Okay, and 2 to 3 hours. That means we have to plan that meal and not late night snack.
Yeah. And the thing is, we're in the South, and people like to use a lot of spices, hot sauce and things along that line.
True.
If you choose to do that, then you will pay later on.
We'll see that. Because why? Does that irritate us and keep us up?
Yeah, it causes reflux. And so, again, you can have this sensation of acid. You can feel like a knot's there in the top of your stomach, or either goes up into your chest or either all the way up into your throat.
So yeah, that feeling in your throat, like you're kind of gagging and you can't sit down. So what's the solution about the pillows? Should we have a firm pillow, or, I mean, should we be, we have read that your spine should be in alignment with your neck. So that's the kind of pillow we could see.
Ideally, a firm pillow is the best thing. But again, depending on individuals, again, he didn't give me everything about his particular history, but certainly, you know, a firm pillow is the best way.
So that's the way to go. The pillow is a thing, Dr. Douglas. It is. There are a lot of pillows being sold to us in the store. A firm pillow. You heard it here from Dr. Douglas, Dr. Adrian Douglas. This is Drive Time with Dr. Douglas. We're going to take a short break. And when we return, we're going to talk more about getting a healthy night's sleep. And we're going to take your calls. Call. You have doctors here to answer your questions about sleeping well. 404-880-9255. You're listening to Drive Time with Dr. Douglas on WCLK. Programming on Jazz 91.9 WCLK is made possible in part by MDVIP. Dr. Adrian Douglas, host of Drive Time with Dr. Douglas, is an affiliated physician with MDVIP. He has practiced internal medicine at Piedmont Hospital for more than 20 years. Patients in his primary care practice take part in an annual wellness program. He offers same and next day appointments that start on time and last as long as needed. Dr. Douglas is also available by phone after hours. More information is available at mdvip.com.